WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guests Kathleen Hanna and Johanna Fateman are co-founding members of the band La Tigra. The band just released a new EP called From the Desk of Mr. Lady. Here's the first track, Get Off the Internet. Music by La Tigra, the Riot Girl movement that started in the early 90s produced girl bands with a punk sensibility and a feminist attitude. Kathleen Harris and Johanna Fateman of La Tigra were important members of that movement. In the days when Hanna fronted the band Bikini Kill, she was considered one of the founders of the Riot Girl movement. The movement spread through zines as well as music. Johanna Fateman writes zines about music, art, and culture. La Tigra is touring in Japan right now. From their eponymous first CD, here's a song called What's Your Take on Cassavetes?
We've talked about it in letters, and we've talked about it on the phone. But how you really feel about it, I don't really know.
Kathleen Hanna, Johanna Fateman, welcome to Fresh Air. Let's start with what's your take on Cassavetes. Why don't you tell us how this song came about, particularly the lyric?
Hi, this is Johanna. Well, with what's your take on Cassavetes, it was kind of a series of incidents or coincidences that led to the song. I work at an art gallery, and there was a group show of visual artists sort of grouped together based on the filmmaking practices of Cassavetes. And so I was reading all this stuff about Cassavetes. And meanwhile, Kathleen and Sadie, well, you should tell this part, Kathleen.
This is Kathleen. Sadie and I happened to hook up in Paris, France. It was very glamorous. And we wanted to go see a movie and what was playing but Husbands by Cassavetes. And we went to see it and we just had like all these conversations about, you know, is the misogyny in this movie calling attention to sort of like white middle class men's like spiritual vacancy and stuff like that? Or is it just being a part of it? Because we both felt really gross after the movie, but we also loved it in this weird way. And we started talking about how many different kinds of art and music we feel that way about, that it's like there's something really icky about it, but we still are attracted to it, and how can you constantly be negotiating that in your mind about everything as a feminist? And so we started writing that song, and then we also wanted to bring up the point of me, Sadie, and Johanna's sort of intellectual friendships with each other, because at the beginning of the song, there's like a girl in a telephone booth, you can hear seagulls and stuff like that in the background, and we've kind of set it up to be a typical, you know, Shangri-La's type thing where, you know, one girl's calling another, you know, and being like, oh, I love that man so much, I'm going to die without him or whatever. And then it's really one woman calling another being like, what do you think about Cassavetes? I really need to know.
Well, I think it's really ambitious to write a song about your ambivalent feelings about a film director, your ambivalent feelings about certain art. It's hard to write a song about that.
Not for us. That's what we talk about all the time.
Well, it's certainly not typical to write a song about that.
I think that's part of what we wanted to do with the song, though, is to overturn that expectation that it was going to be about typical pop song fare of, you know, love relationships or whatever, having a good time at a party or what, I don't know, whatever common themes are. So we wanted to address this idea of, like, what's a critique and what's a participation.
Kathleen, you're considered one of the originators of Riot Grrrl music. I think most artists really hate labels. So let's start with, are you comfortable with that expression?
I'm definitely comfortable with being labeled a feminist artist. Like, I kind of hate the fact that everybody's so freaked out about being labeled. I'm sick of reading it in everybody's interviews. You know, every single interview is like, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be labeled. And it's like, I'm really happy when I see people who are like, I'm a lesbian and I'm really proud of it. You know what I mean? And like, go ahead, label me, because that's something that like gives other people pride and gives other people a feeling of inclusion. So in terms of like feminism, I'm definitely down to say I'm a feminist. Riot Grrrl is a specific branch of feminism, but I wouldn't call myself a Riot Grrrl just because I don't go to meetings anymore.
What was it when you were involved with it, and what was its meaning for you?
It was sort of like, you know, 70s feminist CR groups a lot, with a certain like outreach element of like, you know, doing actions like being involved in protests and stuff like that, and planning benefit shows for like rape crisis shelters, helping out individual women in the sort of punk music scene, skill sharing, stuff like that. It was really, it meant a lot to me. I mean, it was a really exciting time when it started in DC, just to be a part of these meetings and see these girls who had never been in a room only with women before, you know, saying things that maybe they'd never said, and saying things certainly that I'd never said to anyone.
Well, I'm wondering if, you know, having started out with Riot Grrrl music, if you felt that some of that music was appropriated by mainstream groups and by mainstream pop culture, say groups like the Spice Girls or TV shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I don't think the music was ever appropriated, because probably to mainstream listeners, it's just too confrontational and unlistenable and has too many cuss words in it. But it definitely, I think certain people who are interested in graphs and charts and marketing saw that bands like Bikini Kill and Bratmobile and now Sleater-Kinney were making, you know, a living on small independent labels with absolutely like no advertising money, you know, and like, if we're able to do that, they were like, what if we put a whole bunch of money behind something that sort of takes the content out of it, takes the abrasiveness out of it, and yet has this sort of, you know, girl power message or whatever, and put that into the world? We could make a lot of money. And, you know, whatever. All the girls' rules t-shirts started happening, and we... A lot of Riot Grrrls used to write stuff on themselves, you know, like names that were like derogatory towards women, like on our arms or on our stomachs if we were wearing a short top, sort of as a commentary.
Like slut, like you had slut on your stomach.
Yeah, like stuff like that. And it was sort of, part of the original reason was when I started being photographed, I felt like I was silenced by the photograph, you know what I mean? Like I would get my picture taken in and they could write absolutely anything over it, under it, whatever. And now it's kind of depressing because I'm like, oh, I was beating people to the punch. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's what men are going to think if they see me. And so I'm going to beat them to the punch by writing this and say, I know you're thinking that, which I think was interesting for a minute, but I'm not kind of interested in that thing anymore. Mm-hmm. But the basic point is that then they start having t-shirts that said slut. And who are the people who own these companies? Probably men. Do you know what I mean? Who are making money off of this, like, now pseudo-rebellion. And, whatever, I just find it annoying and boring, and I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. I just kind of keep working. And if there are like 5-year-old girls who get sort of a feminist type vibe off of the Spice Girls girl power, great.
My guests are co-founders of the band La Tigra, Kathleen Hanna and Johanna Fateman. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with two members of the band La Tigra, Kathleen Hanna and Johanna Fateman. Now, Kathleen, I read, and you can tell me if this is true, that when you were in school, you started a production of Annie.
Yes, that is true. I was Annie. My school couldn't really afford props and sets and stuff, and they also had to have something with a male lead to be fair, I guess. So it was sort of a combination of Annie and Oliver. I don't know how they did it. And then it was like I had a stuffed dog instead of a real dog for Sandy. It's really bad.
So did you have to sing The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow?
I sure did.
No, that's a really different kind of singing than the singing you're doing on your records now.
Not really. I mean, the thing that's interesting is when I first started out or whatever, everybody said I sounded like polystyrene from X-Ray Specs. And I had never heard her. And then I listened to X-Ray Specs and I was like, oh, it's because we both project. Like, and I learned that from, like, my many years of children's theater. and I always wondered if Polly also had done a little, you know.
Little Annie. Theater in her day?
Yeah.
See, I thought you meant when you started singing and Annie, people said that you sounded like polystyrene. That was pretty funny.
I wish.
Yeah. I'm going to play something, Kathleen, that you did with the band Bikini Kill early in your music career. And this is called Rebel Girl, and it's considered like one of the anthems of Riot Girl music. And tell us something about writing this song.
Well, I lived in D.C. at the time, and there was just a lot of excitement because women's groups were starting, and there were a lot of bands there. And I don't know, at that point, I didn't feel like I had to write songs. I just felt like I had to reach up into the air and grab them. And this was one of the ones I sort of reached up into the air and grabbed. It was like a scene of people wrote it. I didn't really write it. I just was the person who actually put the pen to the paper.
Okay, this is Rebel Girl, Bikini Kill, featuring my guest, Kathleen Hanna. That's Rebel Girl from the band Bikini Kill that my guest Kathleen Hanna used to be in. And Kathleen Hanna and Johanna Fateman are my guests. Their new band is called La Tigra. You've both talked about the importance of feminism in your life and in your music. How were you exposed to that? And I'm wondering if your mothers were feminists.
My mom's a feminist, definitely. I mean, I grew up in Berkeley, California, which, you know, is a university town and sort of famous for being a place where, you know, radical politics are talked about. So I feel like I was exposed to radical ideas when I was really young.
I grew up in suburbia, in various suburbias. My family moved a lot. We moved every, like, 3 years. My dad worked for the union, for Local 669, pipe fitters and welders. And my mom has always been a nurse at various, like, mental health facilities. My mom was kind of, like, a secret feminist. Like, she didn't really, you know, it wasn't like we had, like, any bohemian friends or, you know what I mean? Like, pretty much the books in our house were, like, romance novels and detective novels. But my mom worked in this sort of, like, clandestine domestic violence shelter. And I didn't remember this until a couple years ago. I just remember her kind of sneaking out of the house to this... I think it was like an Episcopal church that had a phone, you know, crisis phone line thing in the basement. And she would go there every so often and do that. And she got Ms. Magazine. And She took me to Solidarity Day in D.C. when I was like, I don't know, 10 or something. And we saw Bella Abzug speak. And all these women were wearing like T-shirts that said, you know, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. I was just caught up in the total frenzy of it as like a little kid being like, look at all these women. And it was like the outside world, you know, and the fact that there are all these women banding together and like yelling stuff, it just really had an impression on me. And hearing Bella Abzug speak was like, I couldn't believe it.
A lot of girls, when they're preteens, go through this phase of, it's the oh, he's so cute phase, where, like, you listen to music and you're supposed to have, you know, oh, he's so cute fantasies about the guys you're listening to and so on. And I'm wondering if you ever related to music that way. For example, now, you know, like if you see clips of, say, an NSYNC concert, it's almost all preteen girls in the audience and they're kind of screaming and... You know, obviously having all these really important fantasies to them about the guys who are in the band. Did you relate to music that way at all when you were 11, 12, 10?
I was like 6 or something. I was really into Donny Osmond. That was my first concert. And I went and I screamed myself totally hoarse. But, you know, I think I really wanted to be Donny. That was the real issue going on. And I mean, I actually wrote more love letters to Marie than I ever did to Donny, because I was really kind of obsessed with her. But I felt like it was more acceptable to channel my, you know, fake love energy into Donny. But I was also really into Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family and would imitate his singing style along with the records.
Do you think about the impact your music and your presence on stage might have for your youngest fans? What it might mean in their lives?
I thought about it once in Italy with Bikini Kill when there were these like 7-year-old girls sitting by the monitors. I just thought, oh, they're going to be in therapy when they're like 35 and there's this girl and her face was all red and she was screaming these crazy things and people were saying she was a man hater and I don't know, was it a dream doctor? But I just think I would really like to have been young and gone to a concert and seen Joe on stage singing and playing keyboards. And I'd really like to go to a concert when I was younger and see me in all my beauty and sexual glory and fabulous singing style on stage. So I get really happy about it. You know, I think that people are pretty incredible and that they don't really need me to become amazing people. But if I'm someone there who reminds them that they're really cool, then that's great.
I'm glad you mentioned your sexual glory. What kind of sexual energy do you want to communicate on stage? Because that's often a really important part of pop music and of concerts.
I'm just like really sexually powerful person in general. Maybe that's a, you know, braggy thing to say, but it's like I get what I want and I have a good time, and it's like, I really get annoyed. Well, I got annoyed in Bikini Kill when it was like, it was never women that said this stuff. It was always guys who were like, you know, well, how can you be a feminist because, like, you're sexy? And it's like, I'm sexy when I'm eating a veggie burger. You know what I mean? So, like, what am I going to do? Like, just turn it off? Am I being really funny, Joe? I have to brag.
No, it's fine. I mean... It's never gone down this road in an interview before.
You haven't been to some of the interviews where I've gone down this road. No, but I mean, I think it's like we're all like totally sexual beings. And it's like I really hate the idea that if you're a feminist or something, you're supposed to shut that off because people see that as antithetical to your politics or something. And that's ridiculous.
Well, Kathleen Hanna, Johanna Fateman, I thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathleen Hanna and Johanna Fateman are co-founders of La Tigra. From their new EP, here's a track called They Want Us to Make a Symphony Out of the Sound of Women Swallowing Their Own Tongues. You may recognize a voice that's sampled on the track, Ray Suarez of Public Radio and TV.
Well, what is it that younger women are pushing up against? They would seem to have a list of options to choose from, a set of ways to construct their own identity that takes in everything. It's just a vast smorgasbord. The options are not as narrow as they might have been 30 years ago. Where does the problem lie now?
I think that...
This is Fresh Air.